Hello and welcome to the Aftershocks podcast. I'm Jay Hips.
And I'm Robert Jones.
And we come to you immediately after the Earthquakes 2-1 victory over the New England Revolution here at Buckshaw Stadium. A kind of a disappointing loss for New England, but certainly not the end of the world.
No, I think we all survived well, and I noticed that all the fans were able to exit the stadium in a safe manner, and there wasn't any rushing to get to the top row or anything of that nature. But Jay, I think before we really go on, I think we owe a moment of silence for a dear passing this week, a favorite of Earthquake fans around the world, I'm told, in Randy Macho Man Savage. And,
yeah.
Maybe we owe our listeners a second of silence.
Maybe. I just don't understand that, but I'll go along with it for the ride. Okay, and there we're done.
For those of you who were at the stadium tonight and wondered about that, Jay and I were scratching our heads as well. That was one of the more unusual moments of silence I've ever been a part of at a sporting event.
Yeah, that was, Harmon Killebrew passed away this week. I thought...
Well, he deserves 2 seconds.
That would have been a stretch, but still, anyway. Yes, it's a tragedy that anyone dies in an auto accident, but why we had to commemorate it tonight with a moment of silence for a man who is a professional, or was a professional wrestler.
Someone I obviously enjoyed watching as a kid, because who didn't enjoy pro wrestling when they were in their teenage years? But just, I think, an unusual event tonight, and kind of got us all thinking funny before the game, but, you know, that was okay. The opening whistle came, and I think everyone got back to what they were supposed to be doing, which is playing a Major League Soccer game.
Right, exactly. I wonder if all the other stadiums tonight
We'll have to do a survey.
We will have to find out. If we find out that anyone else did, we will report back to you. Otherwise, feel free to join us in scratching our heads as to why it happened here.
Indeed. Speaking of periods of mourning, I think the first 45 minutes had a similar vein to it. I'm not terribly impressed with the way the game opened up for either team. I thought the wing play was pretty pedestrian at times. We've seen Ryan Johnson play a couple of really good games. He didn't really look as sharp as tonight. Joey Gertsen started off pretty strong. He had a good 10 minutes or so, but then he sort of disappeared as well. And I know in the questions asked after the game, I kind of tried to find out a little more about that. One of the things tonight, you had the Quakes playing in their 4-4-2, mm-hmm. whereas New England's coming in sort of a 4-5-1, 4-3-3,
exactly.
Whatever you want to call it.
More of a 4-5-1,
yeah.
I think.
And when they flood the midfield like that, I think it really takes away from the wing play, because you have players like Wondolowski, who's kind of forced to drop back and help. Ring and Stevenson, who anchored the center, are also forced to play kind of more in a defensive position, so it doesn't allow them to link the ball on the wings necessarily. And so we did see, especially in the first half, a lot of balls just kind of bounced forward, popped forward with, hopefully Lenhart getting to them, which is, it's not a strategy that's going to take you to the promised land, if you will, but something that, can work. Tonight, it just didn't look all that good to me.
Yeah, well, I think for the first 20 minutes, the Earthquakes did a reasonable job of creating chances and working around New England's efforts to try and pack the midfield, but somewhere around that 25-30 minute mark, New England started to really kind of turn the tide, created some more chances themselves, but overall, not a 45 minutes that you would put in an MLS highlight reel.
Don't think so. Not after the 45 minutes we saw in the second half last week. This was kind of a step down from that. But halftime whistle, the teams go in 0-0, no harm, no foul, so to speak. And the second half, didn't start off super strong, but we had both teams looking like they were, I think, figured out what they wanted to do. The Quakes, I think, had settled into a defensive formation that would allow them to deal with that trio in the midfield. And I think it really shut down Benny Feilhaber, especially. I don't remember saying his name very much in the second half. Shaori dropping more into the defensive role throughout most of the game, as opposed to rotating forward like he's often, often likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, that kind of played into the Quakes' favor. While it was still a stalemate, I think they were starting to hold the advantage and gaining the momentum that they previously, in the first half, weren't able to get.
Yeah, it was, not the most exciting you know, first 65, 70 minutes, really. you know, that there was some incremental moments of progress one way or the other. The earthquake did look a little bit better at times. I think the game did open up a little bit in the second half, but I still got the impression that, you know, if the game had ended in a scoreless tie, Steve Nichol would have been perfectly happy to walk away from here with a point.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, much like Robert Warzia last week, you know, he wasn't coming in here looking to, you know, set things on fire. You know, he was very happy to get his 1 point and get home. And you know, credit to the Quakes, they did just enough to get that first goal, especially. You know, the Frank Gallant made two subs on the night. He brought in Ampi Patakwan on the right wing. Ellis McLaughlin on the left wing, you know, Ryan Johnson and Joey Jurtsen came out. You know, again, they didn't have the best of games. You know, brought in fresh legs on those two wings, and it seemed to help open things up as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ellis scored his first major league goal tonight. You know,
yeah.
Fantastic play from, you know, Wondolowski playing the role of Ryan Johnson with a beautiful cross into the box. And we asked Wando after the game, and he admitted, you know, he smiled, but he admitted that he was looking for Steven Lenhardt in that play. He didn't realize where Ellis was, you know, floating into space there. And the big man in the center, again, the gravitational pull on that guy is amazing. Two more guys just glommed right on him. I think Alston, you know, let Ellis loose on the far post. And from my vantage point, I'm looking right down the path of the ball as Ellis is heading that into the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like he had all night to just line himself up and just bang that ball to the far post, and Matt Reese could do nothing about it. It was a beautifully taken goal.
Yeah, I had that same line of sight from here in the press box. And, yeah, he really could not have done better with it. You know, it's really textbook placement, because in that situation, the goalkeeper is moving across to his right, and then McLaughlin heads it back to the goalkeeper's left across the face of goal. So, you know, Matt Reese is a pretty big guy. He's got a lot of momentum moving in that one direction. He's not going to be able to just, you know,
no, he's not turning on the dime.
Yeah, no. And, you know, he put it right in the far post at the, you know, into the side netting.
Very well done. We talked to Ellis after the game, and one of the quick questions was, so when's the last time you scored with your head? And the question was asked because Ellis has probably the most powerful shot on the team. The guy has a foot you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
And he just sort of laughed and said, probably not since U-12s. And I would believe him. His bread and butter is that left foot cannon.
Mm-hmm,
and to score a goal so well with his head, to make it look that easy for the youngsters, was fantastic and a great way to get his MLS debut goal.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny that you mentioned that, because he, you know, had you been able to place a bet on whether he would get it with his foot or his head, I imagine the odds would have been pretty long.
Yes.
On that headed goal. So
yeah, that was not gonna be something a lot of people were gonna even consider the possibility.
Yeah. Speaking of long odds, the second goal on the night was an incredible ball from Bobby Conby off a free kick after Steven Lenhardt again won the free kick.
Yep.
And my question is, and I can only hope that someone thought to ask it, was it a cross or a shot?
A great question that if Bobby Conby had been available for interviews tonight, we would have asked him. But unfortunately, he had other places to be and kind of escape the media, so we will never know. But I really do believe, and you know, we'll ask him during the week, but I really do believe that was a shot. You know, I think he saw Matt Reese, you know, kind of stationed off his line, really kind of playing for the cross, and he took a shot at it. It wasn't a blast, but it didn't have to be. It just needed to be a placed ball, and you're not going to see a prettier goal on a set piece. You know, it's upper corner, right off, you know, glancing off the post and into the goal.
Yeah.
You know, there's no goalkeeper in the league that's going to get a mitt on that one.
Yeah, so. No, I'm not sure you'd find a goalkeeper anywhere that would get something like that, short of, you know, some sort of the Marvel superhero league.
I think I've seen Stretch Armstrong get to that ball.
Right, exactly.
You know, he's got the reach. But, you know, a great second goal, and, you know, got the crowd excited, got the players excited. You know, I laughed at the time. It's that, it's the most dangerous lead in the soccer, the old 2-0. And, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. There was only about less than 10 minutes to go in the game at that point.
Yeah, and in the 83rd minute.
New England really had not done anything in the match to that point in the run of play to be very dangerous. You know, they had, I think, a good shot in the first half that Bush had to parry away. But other than that, they didn't really seem to have much going on. It was going to be a set-piece opportunity where they're going to do their damage, where they can get their big guys in the box, Shower Joseph and Chris Tierney and McCarthy, the rookie. And sure enough, they earn a pretty generous free kick, I'll say, late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And answer right back. Quakes get their first free kick goal, and I think since they've returned to the league, I can't remember one before this, maybe in that first year. Our listeners will correct us on that.
I'm sure they will. I want to say maybe Ronnie O'Brien scored on a free kick.
That sounds familiar.
I'm not entirely certain about that.
Yeah, in fact, someone else mentioned that tonight, so that's two data points in that direction. So, the first set-piece goal for the Quakes since Ronnie O'Brien knocked that one back in 2008, that beautiful set-piece goal he had.
Who could forget that?
Who could forget that? And New England steps up and, Tierney bangs one in to make it 2-1. I think that one went around the wall. I have to think there was some miscommunication between the wall and the goalkeeper. Jason Hernandez said he wasn't really sure what happened from his perspective. He thought they were set up the way they were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could give hats off to the shot. It went. It did a nice job of sneaking in.
Yeah.
And then it was all hands on deck after that point. It was set piece after set piece after set piece, whether it was a foul or a corner kick. And New England was really pressing. And it became very, through the vantage point of the stands, it was you were hoping the clock would run out.
Yeah.
And I have to say this, there was 3 minutes of stoppage time announced by the fourth official, and a minimum, there's a minimum of 3 minutes of stoppage time.
Right.
On my timer, 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Steve Nichol mentioned that.
I bet he did. Yeah. Oh, I bet he did. I mean, I saw the whole bench pointing at their watches like, what the heck happened? That was really fast. I try to do that every game. I try to time the stoppage time just to see where we are.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes and 10 seconds is where I saw. Maybe I'm off a few seconds, but that was surprising as well. And I think no one in Quakeland was too upset about the final whistle there, because they looked like they were under a lot of pressure in that last 5 minutes.
Well, maybe they were, going to run out of their TV window because the moment of silence for Randy Macho Man Savage was going to put them over.
Well,
so
one more reason for maybe to be upset tonight.
Yeah, so maybe we can actually thank Randy Macho Man Savage for that win.
Thank you, Randy.
I did have one other comment. I spoke to your Quakes cast partner Kelly Gray after the match, and he thought that Bobby Convey's free kick was 100% an accident.
Did he?
So,
I don't trust a former player.
Yeah, no, it's true. What do they know? We'll see. You'll have to find out next week.
Coming off his foot, it looked like a goal. And, I turned to my dad as the ball's in the air, and I even said goal. He can verify that. Because it just looked like it was making just a nice curl right into the corner. And it went in, I like to think it was on purpose, but I'm sure Bobby will say it was. Only he knows.
Only he knows, that's true.
People aren't unlikely to take away their own credit on those things.
Yeah, no. And it really was as pretty a free kick as you're going to see. Because it actually didn't curl inside the post until just at the end there.
Right.
So there was actually time while it was flying that you could see the ball, and it was outside the post, and then it moved in, and then it hit the net. Gorgeous. Shot or a cross or whatever it was. We'll call it a shot. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm confident we'll see that in the Major League Soccer Goal of the Week running this week.
Well,
two Quakes
really
made it last week, so Quakes are getting some attention for some nice goals, and rightfully so. I think Bobby Convey's got a quality one that I'm sure will get some mention as well, so make sure you guys hit the website and let's get a Quake to win. Hopefully there won't be a Seattle player in the running, I guess.
That's true. Sheer numbers and naive enthusiasm. If there's a Seattle goal, they always assume it's the best one.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be goal of the week. So another win, another happy locker room. I think we've got lots of player interviews, some coach talk that we should turn to.
That's right. Well, I know you were on Earthquakes duty tonight, so
Should we start us off with the coach or the players?
Why don't we start with, as usual, head coach Frank Yalom.
All right, here we go. Head coach Frank Yalom.
Good 3 points. I mean, winning's obviously the most important thing, so 3 points tonight was very vital. And it was, you know, I thought we deserved to win, but I thought New England, obviously, getting once they got the goal, it was a little hairy at the end. But we saw it through and got our win.
What do you think of Carvey's goal?
Good, but he's probably trying to... I don't know if he's... I'll have to ask him. But I think he's probably just trying to whip it in that area. If he went for goal, fantastic finish. If he was trying to cross it, good cross. But good for Bobby. I thought he played well tonight. I thought he, handled the position well, and just to get the winning goal was great.
Frank, can you talk about Len Hart? It's really the first time I had a chance to see him play this much. He didn't score, but he just seemed like the entire game he was just making them uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, that's his play, and that's the reason we had a chance to get him, and we decided that we definitely wanted to get him. You know, once it come up, and we pushed for it. So, no, Stevens, we just talked about it. He's got kind of all these traits that, and his good habits and all those things, and kind of got nothing to do with soccer. They're about being a really honest person, works hard, tries to do the right things for the team. You know, and he'd be good in any sport, but he's talented in soccer, and I think that his heart is huge, and he tries every play, and it's great to have on our team.
Talk about how hard this period has been for him, not only with the injury, but also with his dad.
Yeah, well, it's never. I mean, I had it obviously happen to me, but tough times. So he got injured, and then his father passing away, kind of around the same time, and. We've had chats and spoke to him quite a bit about all the things about that type of thing, and he's come through it great. I think that him on the field is where he kind of gets to express himself, because he's got his mum still, and he goes to visit quite a bit, and we try to give him some time off to make sure he does all his family stuff. But the guys love him, in the locker room they really enjoy having him around. He's a free spirit, but he's a great guy. And he tries hard, wants to win, and he does it the right way. And he's doing well. He's starting to play better. There's more to come from him too. I think that being out 9 weeks, I think he's done maybe third or fourth game he's played. I'm gonna keep working at him to make him a little bit better if I can.
And on the play of Ellis,
great. Yeah, Ellis is good. It's another young player. He's only probably 20, 21, I think, one of the two, but great. I think that he, I think all our players actually in the team are excited to play. They're not sort of, they're ready to play. And I think him and Amp have changed the game for us. Amp just with his energy, and then I think, Ellis with a great finish. Great ball by Wando too, but I just feel that he's ready to go, and he's excited. And what he's very direct. And I think that we needed that tonight. We didn't play well, for us. I thought we didn't really move the ball well. I thought New England did a good job of stopping that. I think we needed the thrust from someone like Ellis to make a difference, and he did.
I want to follow up on that. It appeared, especially in the first half, the wing play was lacking. Was that both tactical and that you were trying to clog more of the center of the field?
I think it was more New England. I thought they did a good job. Olsen was really tight on Ryan. I thought Joe had some spells where I thought he did some good stuff, especially early. He had the shot. And then he came out second half and a couple of interchanges with Chris, and I thought, they're going to get something together. But I think New England, set out to make sure that we didn't... they watched the game last week. I spoke to Steve about it, and he watched the game last week and he was impressed. So, they did a nice job and made it difficult for us. And it's just nice to get the win, no matter how you play, because we've had a few where we've played well and not won. So it feels good.
It looked like Ike got his foot hit.
Yeah, his foot's a bit sore. Yeah. It's on the operation he had last year where he got his metatarsal pinned. So he got a good kick on it and it's a little bit sore. So hopefully he's okay. But we'll see. See him in the morning.
Ike had that one little giveaway there. Besides that, how do you think he did?
Good. I think... those sort of games are not easy because you're always under pressure, and I think that he's not played with Jason, I don't think, that much. So Ike's a good young player that we're trying to groom and try to bring on a little slowly, but he's good. He's a good player. He's a fantastic athlete. We just need to get him a little bit more consistent in his all-around play. You know, he does some fantastic things, but then, you know, he, again, little slips here and there that we want to clean that up and make sure that he is 100% sort of on his game for 90 minutes. And if he gets that, he's got a great chance of being very good.
Frank, you said you suggested you guys didn't play really well. What were some of the things that you would like to clean up?
I just think ball movement wasn't good for us. I thought we struggled handling the ball. And again, I think you have to credit maybe New England a little bit. They made it difficult. And there's three in the middle of the field, and we seem to always struggle against three in the middle of the field when we don't drop, you know, one of our strikers back. I.e., we try to change maybe to a 4-3-3, which eliminates that overloading of, you know, the midfield three against our two. But we wanted to make sure that we were goal dangerous. And I thought we had chances first half. You know, Curry at the bar, Joe had a good shot. I forget what else chance we had, but I felt that we had some not bad looks. I just felt they possessed the ball better than us, especially first half. They outplayed us football-wise, but we maybe had better chances. So I don't know what's the better of the two, to be honest. I mean, that's a long time, I'm not sure.
Wando looked like he was playing a little more withdrawn today, distributing a little more. How do you think that worked out?
Well, good. We dropped him back a bit because of the three in midfield. So I said, you know, once the ball goes beyond Lenny and Wando, for him to try and drop down on the furthest defensive center midfielder that they had, because they mixed it up. Wasn't always Joseph. Wasn't always McCarthy. Always wasn't Fellhaber. So whoever was there, Wando tried to just jump down on him a little bit, just to make the numbers up. And then we won the ball. Tried to just break and run from there. So made a great run for the goal. Terrific service, and you know, good players find spaces and they do good things. So Wando's, you know, I don't know how many games he's had points, but it's quite a few, I think. He's good. He's doing okay.
So second home win of the season, second win in a row. How big is it for you guys?
Well, it's good. I mean, you know, these games you've got to win, and I think that for us to make sure that we get home wins, you know, I said at the start of the season we've got to be good at home, and I think that the signs are getting that we are going to be a lot better at home. Can't win every game, we know, but I think we looked solid until they scored their goal. Didn't really felt threatened, and I think that I've sat and watched, you know, the games you have, and we've looked better, looked more solid, looked more organised, and our endeavour to defend has been good. So they're good signs, and I think that if you have that, we can play better. You know, getting Simon back will help us. He's a good player. We miss him a little bit. So getting him healthy, he's probably a week or so away, maybe 2 weeks. Getting him back will help.
Now, will he provide that more direct play you were talking about, Ellis?
Well, just good play. You know, he's just a good player, Simon. You saw him in the four or five games we had, and you know, I wouldn't say he's our best player, but he's pretty close. And he just moves the ball well. He's just very clever on the ball and doesn't give it away, and he's dangerous.
Given the way you're lining up these days, where do you see him slotting in? Do you see him slotting in the center of midfield, or?
Yeah, I think so. You know maybe with Wando kind of being withdrawn anyway, you know, we'll see how Kari fits in. I mean, I've got choices, which is good. And I said to Simon the other day, he's got to get himself back in the team for winning and doing well. But, you know, as you know, good players seem to find themselves back in the team. So we'll see how he goes. He's got to get back from his injury first. And then I'll decide when and where he plays.
Up next is goal-scoring hero, Ellis McLaughlin.
Obviously, when I'm going as a sub, I have to show him what I can do in a short amount of time, so I'm just glad I made a difference.
When was the last time you scored with your head?
Probably U12, probably.
Just talk about how the play opened up for you, and what did you see? Because it certainly looked like Steve attracted a lot of attention on that play.
Yeah, Steve made a good run near post, and I thought he was actually going to get there, but it sailed over his head, and luckily I was wide open. So it was a good play, good goal.
How does it feel to put in your first MLS goal at home?
It feels awesome. I'm definitely glad I got it at home. And in that situation, too, in the game of 0-0, so it felt real well, felt real good.
You know, obviously you spent some time over in Europe. I mean, just talk about this opportunity in MLS and you've been able to
kind of
get things going again.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Wadini have definitely done a good job. They made me feel comfortable here, and they've gotten my confidence back up. And, you know, and they're just I'm glad I can just show them what I can do, you know. Glad I can make a difference for the team and help the team out and get them 3 points.
Are you more comfortable out wide, kind of on the left there, or do you kind of prefer to be closer to goal at time? I mean, you're able to get close to goal on the goal, but...
Yeah, my strength's definitely towards goal, not holding the ball up and stuff like that, so I definitely, you know, outside forward, outside mid is definitely my strength, so... I feel comfortable. I definitely feel comfortable in left mid.
Up next, Chris Wondolowski.
I think that we've really started to come together. I think that we're playing well, and I owe a lot to Jason's boots. I've been wearing his shoes, and so wearing his cleats. Scored a goal with him last week and assist this week, so a lot of credit to him. And I think that's just a lot of credit to this team, and fighting hard. Our defense is playing unbelievable. It's a shutout last week, and a late goal that we let up this week, and so it's huge that we're really coming together, and we're also kind of finishing teams off, which is nice.
Talk about the changes you had to make in your play to handle the New England trio in the midfield. Like, you guys are dropping that a little further in this game.
Yeah, definitely. They like to kind of flood that midfield, and they have some forces in there. Benny Fellhaber, Shaw Reed Joseph, and McCarthy, who's also very good, and so that makes it really tough. But when you have a guy like Lenhardt up there, he can really battle, and so he allowed me to kind of drop in, kind of help out, chip away at some of those D-mids and still kind of fight underneath where Lenhardt was winning a lot of stuff. And, it's a joy to play with him.
Who were you going for in the service?
I do have to admit I was definitely going for Lenhardt, but don't tell anyone.
We'll keep it among us.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I think I saw Lenny, but I'll take it all every day.
Talk about the opportunity on goal you had not too long after that. You put one just wide of the post.
Yeah, Ellis, played a good ball into me. I took a touch. To be honest, when I left my foot, I kind of thought it was heading to that corner, but just missed it wide. That would have been real nice. I think it really would have killed that game off, that kind of 1-2 punch right there. Bit unfortunate.
How do you feel about, following up on his earlier question, about playing more, a little more withdrawn today, distributing a little more?
Yeah, to be honest, I think that helps my game. I don't have two big center backs right up my back. It allows me to kind of find a little space underneath. And again, like I said, when you have a guy like Lenhardt up there who just battles and can win those balls and knock them down to you, it creates a little bit more time and space for me. And also it kind of allows me to make runs deeper into the box, which allows me to kind of free up. Didn't get a lot of crosses today, but we sure kind of created some good opportunities.
Can you talk about next week? You have to play Chicago twice, including a really quick turnaround. How is that strange to have to play one team twice like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's obviously no playoff game, but it's kind of similar like that with the first leg. It's very tough to play a team back-to-back, I'm sure there'll be some mix-up of lineups, both sides, and a lot of guys that are going to be eager and chomping at the bit to get out there and play. So no matter who's out there, I know it's going to be a battle. I'm not sure what the final score happened today, but I saw that they're losing 2-1 to Philly, and so I know that they're going to be eager to try to get out and get a result. For us, that Open Cup game against Philly kind of turned us around, and I'm sure that they're going to be looking for the same, and so it's going to be a battle out there. And then to have to face them again in, 3 to 4 days after, it's going to be tough. Traveling back to Chicago, it's going to be a very tough one, but that being said, I think we're ready for it. We're a lot more confident, and a team that kind of just wants to keep these games coming, because we feel that we were playing well right now and like where we're at.
Talk about Open Cup matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Open Cup's a great, it's the oldest tournament there is in the U.S. It's a great thing. A lot of these guys in here, I think John Bush and Chris Leach are the only ones who've won an Open Cup championship. Those are the only two guys that have, literally won an Open Cup game. A lot of us have a lot of bitter taste in our mouth. I know since San Jose's been back, we haven't won an Open Cup game. So it's a, we want to win it. We, if we put a couple wins together, I think it's four wins, and we're champions there. So yeah, absolutely, we want to win that. Anytime you get a trophy, it's a big win.
So talk about the play at Steve and just It just seems like he attracts so much attention up top, and just talk about the space that he's kind of able to, and the room he's able to create for guys like yourself.
Absolutely. He's great up there. It's so much fun to play with him. He understands the game really well. He fights and battles for every ball, which allows me to kind of drop underneath, kind of pick up the second balls, which then also allows me to get a little bit more space. And, you know, I love that. I love not having two big center backs right at my back. And, you know, he's a fighter out there, and I honestly just enjoy and have fun playing with him up there.
Talk about on the first goal when were you spotting Ellis or were you spotting Steven?
Yeah, I said earlier, I was definitely spotting him. Spotting Lenhart, kind of watched it a little bit. And luckily, Ellis was doing exactly what he was supposed to, crashing that far post, and had a great header. And so, a lot of credit to him.
We talked to defender Jason Hernandez.
Another good defensive effort. I mean, they score on a set piece. Maybe start with that. Talk about what you saw on that play.
You know, I thought they didn't deserve a set piece to begin with. You know, it's unfortunate that sometimes late in the match, you feel like the game is dictating one way, and, you know, the powers that be try to, you know, let the team back in the game. I think they didn't deserve that free kick, but with that being said, they were dangerous on it, and I got a bender around the wall. I'm not sure if there was a miscommunication with Bushy and the wall. Usually that's a pretty tough ball to get by at that range, but whatever the case may be, we saw it out, and we just grinded out that result.
I mean, New England did not look dangerous in the run of play for most of that night. It really was the set pieces where they looked dangerous. Talk about how you and Ikapara paired back there. That's not a partnership we've seen very often, especially of late.
Yeah, I think with my my experience and Ike's ability, being a tandem and as far as being a team goes, I thought we worked really well tonight. There weren't many times where we were dragged out of positions. I thought we were had very good shape, and I think when we can be like that all across the back, but even in our bank of eight, including the midfielders, we'll be tough to break down. I thought tonight showed that.
One of the things I sort of noticed out there, when you guys trot out a 4-4-2, they're playing kind of more of a 4-3-3 or 4-5-1. How the mismatch in formation affects you guys on the back line?
Yeah, I think any team that plays a 4-5-1 or 4-3-3, when they're flooding the midfield, it creates mismatches. Our two guys, Kari and Brad, have to do a lot of dog work in there because there's three guys that they have to cover. And I think sometimes that calls for myself or for Ike to step in and be that third guy in there to kind of even the numbers out. But it's important we pick and choose the right times to do that. And I think there were a lot of good decisions made tonight defensively. And I think it showed with their lack of real dangerous chances.
And then lastly, another home game, another win. You know, it's starting to build that confidence up for you guys, knowing that Buckshaw's a place you guys are locking down?
I think so. I think we're a team notoriously that could perform well on the road and had lackluster performances at home. And to get two in a row at home, it feels good. But it is definitely not an indicator of we're a great team and a great home team. We need to take it a game at a time and concentrate on each performance at a time. And sometimes it'll be pretty, sometimes it won't be, but results are results, and we need the points. So we're glad we got another one this weekend.
Also after the match, I spoke with Revolution head coach Steve Nichol.
Your thoughts on the match?
Well, we certainly didn't deserve to lose the game. We made two mistakes and lost two goals. Second one's questionable whether it's a foul or not. You know, referee's given lineup fouls all night. You know, he's what, 6'3"?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was on the ground more tonight than he was in the air. So, you know, we're not happy with that. We didn't play the time either. We only played 2 minutes of extra time. You know, putting a lot of pressure on. But the bottom line is we made two mistakes and lost two goals.
What were you looking to do coming into the match, and did you see the guys carrying out your plan as you were hoping?
First half, we thought we'd made a couple of chances, and we're pretty comfortable. You know, they weren't hurting us. And didn't really hurt us all night, but they've ended up with two goals. You know, second one's a cross. It's falling into the top corner. So obviously that's gone against us. But we're disappointed. You know, we certainly didn't deserve to lose a game.
And there was a possible penalty in the first half. Do you think that you mentioned the referees part of the game? Do you think that played a role as well?
Well, it would have been interesting to see what happened if it had been up the other end. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't.
Did that look like a penalty to you?
Of course it does. I'm biased, then.
What you can say about trio, Joseph, Lekic, and Benny working together?
Yeah, they work well together. We'd like to make more chances, though. We had a decent amount of the ball tonight without really opening them up. We had a couple of chances, but we didn't make as many chances as we'd like.
Now, statistically, you look really good on the paper. You have 8 corners versus Earthquakes 3. What do you think was the key to the Earthquakes win?
We made 2 mistakes and they got 2 goals. That's the key.
And about the free kick, you got a goal from free kick. And Tim is your first guy for those free kicks, or was just the position on the field that did things for you?
No, we've got a couple of guys who can take them, and obviously Tim is one of them. He took it well, it was a good goal. He got his back in the game.
When you're talking about wanting to create more opportunities, is it just a matter of guys getting to know each other better?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. You're just taking more care of the ball when we have the opportunity to.
Do you think we're getting now to the point where people are going to be looking at the summer transfer window a little bit too? Are you looking for anything in particular to strengthen the team? Or?
Yeah, we're always looking, we're always trying, and we'll continue to do that.
Okay.
Stevie, last year you've been rebuilding the team. It was the first year, I believe. I remember you didn't make the playoff this year. After acquiring Raiko, acquiring Benny, and Joseph in full strength, you feel more responsible, more pressure this year to make the playoffs?
Same as always the same. Never changes. Okay. Never changes.
Do you think like, let's say Benny, does he already play up to his potential? Do you still?
Yeah, you know, for 3 games for us, so it's obviously takes time to get to know everybody's ins and outs and likes and dislikes.
And finally, Revolution midfielder Benny Failhaber. This is your, what, 3rd or 4th game?
5th, I think.
5th game? Okay. How do you think it's going so far? What's, what are your impressions of the league?
For us, it's been a lot of ups and downs, I think. Today's game, I think we played really well the first half, had most of the possession, could have created maybe 1 or 2 more chances, but, couldn't. And then second half, it was kind of like a battle. Nobody really played that well, but, they were able to come up with the first goal, and that was the most important thing. And so, it's a lot of up and downs, and that's what the season's been like since I've gotten here, a lot of good games and some bad ones. So, MLS is a hard-fought league. People, like today, you could see exactly what MLS is all about. People are going to fight and battle till the end, and I think it's a league that's is going to, keep improving. But it's obviously, a really good league already.
Mm-hmm. You guys, the game seemed pretty even for the most part up until the goal. After that, opened up a little bit more. What do you think was the key to San Jose grabbing the victory?
To getting the first goal. I think we outplayed him in the first half, to be honest. In the second half, it was, like you said, it was pretty even until that first goal. And then once, I think we made one mistake. I hate to say it, but, the free kick that they called on me in the box was, I didn't see it unless, I did something that I didn't see. And then that kind of, you know, led to that. I think we're a little bit out of position. They played it quick, you know, credit to them. They went off quick on the right side and were able to create that. And then we didn't mark that guy on the back stick. And, I mean, that's obviously one mistake that we made, and they capitalized on it, and that was the reason they won.
Just a quick question. I know the Gold Cup rosters are going to be announced this coming week. I don't know if you know one way or the other if you're on it or not, but does it pose kind of a conflict for you since you're just kind of getting acclimated here if you were to be called away? Or
no, I mean, national team's national team, you know, and if I get called, that's a huge tournament for our country, and you know, I'm going to be ready to play in it if I'm called on.
Okay. Right? Do you know if you have been? You know? Okay. All right. Thanks. So, Rob, I think you mentioned earlier in the podcast that neither team really set things on fire in the first half. But speaking of fires...
Speaking of, and I'm glad you caught that because that wasn't by accident, Earthquakes have two games with the Chicago Fire coming up this week, the rare double.
Yes, the rare home-and-away series.
Home-and-away series, although in two different competitions. But, you know, we have Tuesday night here at Buckshaw Stadium, Chicago Fire coming in for the Win and You're In U.S. Open Cup qualifying game. If the Quakes advance, that would put them into the round of 16 in the U.S. Open Cup proper, a tournament that,
woo-hoo,
I think it's gaining some popularity. You hear it from coaches and players. They're taking it a little more seriously. Yes, it puts some more games on the schedule, but they've got bigger rosters this year. You know, the Reserve League was part of bringing bigger rosters in. They wanted to get more players, competitive matches. And the U.S. Open Cup is a perfect opportunity to get some more, serious playing time in. So I think that's going to be something the players are looking forward to. One thing that is, I think, going to make this a very interesting week is when you play the same opponent in two games in a row like that, some of those faces probably become pretty familiar. And if you didn't like him in the first game, I'm not sure you're going to like him any more in the second game. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that pans out and how much, lineup changes sort of ameliorate that. You know, we don't want to see a lot of, bad stuff go on out there. But I think we'll see a lot of players get their chance to play this week, mix up lineups in both these games. So something to look forward to.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because we saw previously when the Quakes played Vancouver and Portland in the same week, there was a lot of interchange. The lineups varied significantly from one game to the next. Do you expect we'll see that same sort of thing this week?
I think absolutely. You're going to see line changes probably in defense. Justin Morrow, Stephen Bedeshore, Bobby Burling. I'm not sure on the status of Romero Corrales right now, but. Tim Ward is playing again in practice. He's another guy who's almost ready to step up and start playing again. You might see Brandon McDonald play in that game Tuesday. He wasn't able to play tonight, obviously, for the red card suspension. So there's a lot of guys in the back line that are available, and guys that have done very well over the last 3 or 4 weeks in their starts, whether it be U.S. Open Cup or MLS action. The defensive line as a whole has done a nice job, no matter who the parts are that are in there. Aiko Parra might also play. He was hobbling around a bit after this game. He got that stomped on the foot, I think, in the second minute. It was real early on in the match. On the same foot that he had hurt last year, unfortunately. And so he was a little bit hobbled after the match. They'll take a look at him a little more closely. So he probably won't be available Tuesday. But there's plenty of guys for Yalop to choose from to get in there. And then, Ellis McLaughlin had that goal tonight. He had two other goals this week in a reserve league, a scrimmage against Santa Clara University. Pretty good week for Ellis. Matt Lizanaris also had a goal in that game against Santa Clara. Those are a couple guys who might get some playing time. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Wondolowski in there and Steven Lenhardt in some capacity, especially certainly in the 18. I think the players and coaches are looking at this game as an opportunity to keep developing that winning culture. It's a chance to go into a tournament where there is a trophy at stake, and players take that seriously. So I don't think Frank's going to just throw out another 11 players different than we saw tonight. You're going to see some crossover. But with that game on the weekend as well, he'll have to balance between the two games.
Yeah, and I'm sure he will. So let's see. Any closing thoughts on tonight's victory over New England?
not as comprehensive a victory as we saw last week against Columbus, but they did enough. They gained 3 points on the road, or I'm sorry, at home. They usually do it on the road.
Yeah.
I'm not used to saying they do it at home, but you know, it's good to say that 2 weeks in a row. They got the 3 points at home. They're starting to show, I think, the effects that Frank Yallop's player shuffling started a few weeks back. You know, there's guys that know they have to fight to play both in training and in games. You know, the combinations of players, the duos, the trios of guys on the field are starting to develop chemistry. And now you've got some parts. You know, Frank Yallop has some interchangeable parts he can use to put a starting lineup together. And they're meshing together much better. Said goodbye to Ryan Johnson after the game. He's heading off for the Gold Cup. He'll be on Jamaica, the Reggae Boys. He's been invited to their training camp. So he'll be gone for at least the next 3 weeks. Other than that, the Quakes don't lose anyone for the next few weeks. They'll be pretty much at full strength, and a good couple of games to look forward to this week.
Okay. Well, I think we will leave it at that. I believe we will have another episode of Aftershocks for you after the Tuesday night Open Cup match. And I don't know what your Quakescast schedule is for next week. If you guys are going to be doubling up again, or
we're going to do a post US Open Cup Quakescast. We'll look back at that game, and then we'll preview the weekend match as well. Still working on a guest. We'll see who we can pick up from the Chicago market. I'm trying to get Mike Ditka on the line. He's apparently a big sports guy in Chicago.
Mike Ditka?
He knows a lot about football.
Oh, that's true.
Football, we'll find out. But yeah. But if I can't get him, we'll find someone who knows a little bit about the Chicago Fire.
So. Okay. Well,
so Quake fans will have to pay. Take a listen, and we promise you a good show on the Quakes guest.
Okay. Well, I think in that case we will go ahead and wrap it up. And but first, a moment of silence for. Actually, no, we won't do that.
Maybe not. Yeah. Enough moments of silence for now.
Enough moments of silence. Okay, well, in that case, we will just go ahead and sign off, and then you can have as long a moment of silence as you want, listener, after we say, I'm Jay Hibbs.
And I'm Robert Jonas.
Thanks for listening.